Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto each of you this hour of grace and forevermore. Amen. It certainly is a pleasure to be invited back here amongst all of you. It's always so wonderful to be welcomed so lovingly. You as a congregation do a fine job on that. And I'm sure you do that into the community at large. And that is such a gift, especially as a congregation is larger, that as people do come, they feel welcome. It's just a very powerful thing, and I'm thankful to the Lord to be here this morning, and we'll see what the Lord will provide. I guess I have a question. Is it your tradition to stand during the gospel reading? Yes? Okay. I didn't say here, so would you please stand for this morning's gospel reading from John chapter 6? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And from verse 41, and the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. And it is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word open before us this morning. We ask that by your Spirit it would be open to each of us, that we would truly hear and be encouraged in our walk of faith, that we would see clearer, Father, the hope that is offered through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. It's a beautiful portion of Scripture that we're in this morning. This comes shortly after. I'm going to kind of maybe put it in a little context of how it flows in the Gospel of John. I'm not sure, but I'm assuming you did perhaps hear the feeding of the 5,000 here a Sunday or two ago. That great miracle where Jesus took that small amount of food, those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he fed this great multitude, this huge crowd. Scripture tells us it was 5,000 men. You know, some surmise that it could be many more by the time you counted women and children. But at any rate, it was this great miracle. And actually, when you think about that miracle, that is one, there's only one other miracle in the life of Jesus Christ recorded in Scripture that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. It is the feeding of the 5,000 and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. This is a great, great feast, wasn't it? There was plenty, and there was more left over after it was finished. And today's portion comes the following day. Those great crowds, when Jesus had left, had followed him on the other side of the sea. And Jesus previously tells them that, you know, you're not following me because you see that I am that promised one of God. You're seeing me because you had received what you wanted. Your bellies are full. Your earthly needs are met. And it's just beautiful how Jesus takes this now into him declaring who he truly is, that bread of life. In verse 35, the Lord begins, as he says, I am the bread of life that cometh down, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Isn't that a beautiful verse? We often read through that. We really don't stop and pause and think, what does that verse really declare to us? What does it declare to us, as especially as believers? That the Lord is our provision. In verse 41, it continues that the Jews began, murmuring. And they said, they were murmuring. And they were wondering, how could Jesus declare that he is the bread which came down from heaven? The Jewish people had this great tradition, and they knew the story of the Israelites. God providing their way out of Egypt. And how God himself provided that manna from heaven. Oh, it came down in the morning. And they were to take just enough what they needed for that day. And if they took more, a little extra, it spoiled. Except on the day before the Sabbath, they were instructed to harvest enough for 2 days. And this sustained them. So they had this great tradition, understanding on God's provision, even in this physical sense. And in many, there are some commentaries that even say that, this is what the Jewish people were really kind of waiting for, is when this Messiah, when their Messiah returned, that he would just provide everything. And it's even recorded in Scripture just before this that when Jesus escaped to the other side, he left because the people wanted to make him king. He had done a great thing. He had met their physical need. And that is worthy of praise. Don't get me wrong. But where Jesus is taking this is what he really provides is so much more. So much more. Jesus continues on, but I said unto you that ye have not seen me and have not believed. All that the Father hath given me. Oh, excuse me. Lost my place. Start over. So when the Jews were murmuring that Jesus said, I am the bread which came down from heaven, and they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say that he has come down from heaven? They were looking at this Jesus that they knew. They had seen him, so apparently some of them, they knew his parents. He's not nothing special. How can he be declaring that he is the one that come down from heaven? In the sense that he is the promised one of God, the Messiah, the one that would redeem Israel. And Jesus just answers like he so often does. Not real straightforward, but he just tells them, don't murmur among yourselves. And in verse 44, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you realize what that verse says right there? No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. The work of God even coming for us to coming to the point of salvation. I've shared it many times. I don't know from here, but other places, and I kind of paraphrase it, and forgive me if this sounds wrong, but I and myself would have not been smart enough to choose Jesus Christ. When I look back over my life, the Lord, through his gracious drawing, brought me to the point of coming to the point of understanding that I had a sin debt. I needed a Savior, and the Savior was Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That is how God is working. We look at this world around us, and we see our own great struggles, the struggles in society and this turmoil. But as believers, we can trust that God is still working. And what is he working? He is working to draw people onto repentance, to himself, to see who Jesus Christ is. And in that, in their faith, believing in Christ and Christ alone, for their sin debt, are saved. In essence, they are participating as Christ is the bread of heaven. They are receiving that. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God and hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. As I was studying this, more and more it struck me. And maybe I step into a very dangerous place because our Lord does provide for our earthly need. And sometimes it's just miraculous. how he sustains us through the difficult things and just provides. But more so, when we really look at it and we understand what he has provided for our salvation. Brother Mark said so much when he mentioned about their study at Camp Lati, how they had talked about the love of God. We really don't wrap our mind around that, do we, brothers and sisters? You know, it falls from our lips. It seems so quick to say that, you know, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. But really, have we really come to understand the price that was paid? That is the love of God. That while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So Jesus is in 47, "Very verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." There he's talking about the Israelites again. Your fathers ate that manna. They lived their earthly life, and now they're gone. That's not enough. "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that any man may eat thereof and not die." Referring to himself, to placing our trust and belief in Jesus Christ and him alone. What a gift. What a gift. You know, we live in a society where I don't know if we really understand hunger. Probably not thirst, at least in the area we live. We're blessed with abundant fresh water and good water to drink, to play in, whatever. Or even hunger in this day and age. But it's like, I was thinking how easy it is for us to satisfy our hunger in foods that are probably less than healthy. You know, we're a fast food society, aren't we? We're going past and we whip through the drive and we grab something to eat. We call it a meal. It sustains us. Is it necessarily healthy? But you know, how easy it is for us even, at least, I can't say for you, but I can say for myself, to become that kind of a believer even. That kind of a Christian. Where you're kind of just racing through life. And you're grabbing enough of the Lord as you go by. But really, what this text is telling us, that Jesus Christ should be our all in all as we walk this earth. For this here and now, as we go through the good, the bad, life, what it brings upon, as we go, understanding that God has a plan, he has a purpose, he is working, he is drawing, but ultimately, the gift of salvation, eternal life, that Jesus Christ came down, the Son of God. It's easy for us to really just kind of half-heartedly keep that in our mind and not understand the love of God, the great love of God. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The life of the world. This gospel message isn't just for those of us that made it here this Sunday morning or made it next door Sunday morning or wherever. This message is for the world. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, it was for the sin debt of the world. It doesn't become imputed to us as individuals until through faith we believe. Don't get me wrong. But the gift was so great. We have such a blessed message to share on who the Lord is. And as we walk, that we would earnestly ask the Lord through his Spirit to give us the strength that we would desire more. I don't know if that's right to say. More of this bread of heaven. The Lord. That our lives would be immersed in it. Because I don't know about you, but I find my biggest struggle is just getting caught up in the busyness of life. The good stuff. Not even the bad stuff. It's just living life. That I forget why I'm here. Why has God breathed life into me? He has breathed life into me and into you for a purpose. To be part of this kingdom. To share and encourage and love one another. one of the greatest things I've learned so far, as Brother had alluded to my health issues, is never judge anyone's ministry. Everybody ministers in a different way. And it's powerful. Some are through words. Some are through instant prayer. Some are through acts of gesture. But how the Lord works through individuals. So I guess where I'm going with this is, don't feel beat up if you're not one to go handle tracts down on the corner down here downtown or share gospel with a stranger. You know what? The Lord has a purpose for you to share who this Jesus Christ is where you are right now, in your family, your circle of friends, through the unique abilities and gifts He's given you. We have a great message. And it's just not ours to keep for ourselves. It is for the world. That God loved us so much that He sent His Son to be this bread of life. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I just pray that your day is blessed pondering this. How great a gift it is to be in faith. And if you listen today and you are outside of faith, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Scripture is so clear. When we seek, when we knock, it will be opened. That is how the Lord works. And remember, whatever you're facing in life, our gracious Lord is still working His work of redemption through these circumstances. We may not see it. We may not ever know it. But He's still drawing people closer to Himself to understand who He is. The salvation He provided for the world through Jesus Christ. We are most blessed. We truly are. And may His name be praised. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, a few moments around your holy word just seems to hardly touch it. But Father, we thank you that you have preserved your word through these centuries. And we just ask, Father, that you would truly give us a hungering and a thirsting for your word. That we would, Father, fill our lives, and even in simple ways, spending time in prayer, reading, studying, whatever it may be, Father. But that we would be drawn closer unto you in our Christian walk. And that through that, Father, we would be enabled by your Spirit to share the gospel message to the world around. And Father, we ask that you would complete this in a way that would not bring honor and glory unto us as individuals, but that it would bring honor and glory unto your holy name. For you are worthy, Father. You are a gracious God and King. Father, we thank you that you still draw people. You are still drawing people unto repentance. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to allow that until that great second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and be gracious and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.